From UA Little Rock Public Radio, this is The Art Scene. I'm Daniel Breen. It's a new year, a new decade, and, of course, a new award season. Whether you're a Star Wars fanatic, a champion of Little Women, or even if your mind is still reeling from Cats, we can all agree that celebrating the movie business holds a special place in the hearts of millions. But if the glitz and glamour and cinematic magic seems all but out of reach, rest assured that the film industry is alive and well in Arkansas. Since 2017, the Arkansas Cinema Society has been uplifting filmmakers in the natural state, providing grants, exposure, and mentorship. Their annual film festival, Filmland, puts big-name directors side-by-side with local creators. This week, we speak with executive director and founder Catherine Tucker about the Society's goals and upcoming events, including a screening of Arkansas-born filmmaker Ben Garvin's documentary, Love Them First. The screening, featuring State Senator Joyce Elliott as moderator, is Saturday, January 11th at 5:30 at Little Rock's Ron Robinson Theater. If we could just look back for a little bit to last Filmland.
Sure.
How was that? How did that come about? How was the organizing for it? How was it different than other years, maybe?
Well, every year we kind of reinvent ourselves, and one of the fun things about what we do is we can do whatever we want. So the Filmland is different from other film festivals in that it's much more like Ebert Fest in Champaign, Illinois. So Jeff Nichols, it was actually his idea to design it this way. He's had a great experience at Ebert Fest in the past, and I really love the design of it. It's very intimate, and I think it fits the audience here in Central Arkansas, in Arkansas. The idea is that we have fewer screenings, but we have the filmmakers accompany every single one. And a lot of the filmmakers we bring in are a lot more high profile than at your average film festival. Or I don't want to say average, at your... I love film festivals. So, you know, most film festivals will have like 100 filmmakers, and we have anywhere between 5 and 15 historically, but this we've only done it 3 times. So Filmland this past August, we had I think 5 filmmakers fly in, and then we had our Arkansas Shorts program. And we have Filmland Arkansas, which is designed to highlight the work that's being done here in Arkansas. And we have no minimums or maximums for it. So it just depends on what gets submitted. And we're actually trying to figure out a way to screen everything that people submit, because I hate choosing. And we have 16-year-olds submitting films and 45-year-olds submitting films, and they don't necessarily compete with one another. And so we really want to find a way to, you know, highlight the films that everybody submits.
Yeah, that must just be even more stressful to you, because you have to, I'm sure you probably get the number of submissions that a run-of-the-mill film festival would get, you know, mm-hmm. hundreds of them, but you have to distill that down to just 5 pretty much. What is the process like?
So we have a great programming committee, and I try to stay out of what they decide. And so Josh Miller is a filmmaker here in Arkansas, and he's the programming chair. And Jack Lofton also is heavily involved, and he was formerly the executive director of the Little Rock Film Festival. So he's a lot of experience doing this as well. But they both, I really give all of the submissions over to that committee, and they decide.
And I noticed the date has been changed for Filmland this year. It'll be in the fall of 2020. Mm-hmm. What was the decision behind that?
So we decided to do that. It was really another inspiration of Jeff's and talking to filmmakers that are on the festival circuit. We think we'll be able to get higher profile filmmakers and more cutting edge films. In the past, we've gotten incredible filmmakers like Richard Linklater, but they're screening films that they made 2 decades ago. And the filmmakers that are on the festival circuit and go to Toronto and Telluride, we're trying to catch them when they're coming off of that, while they're on tour. And hopefully, like, I'm going to Sundance in a couple of weeks. And we ended up screening Troop Zero, which I saw at Sundance, and that's kind of how that happened. But we hope that it will get more movies like Troop Zero that are, so we're not only having, you know, the high profile names, but we're also, you know, getting cutting edge films.
That's interesting. You're going to Sundance. What are you looking for when you go there? Because you're you know, obviously you're on the Cinema Society, but you're also kind of looking at it through a producer's lens as well.
Yes. So I another board member and I went last year and we're going again this year. And I find it so informative to programming the year, because really that's it's kind of the beginning of the year in terms of what's going to be out there in film. And, you know, we were fighting to see Honey Boy last January and now it's a big deal. And we were fighting to see The Report last January and now it's – so all these films that, you know, it takes a year really for them to get to the public, but it gives you a leg up on what's going to be out there that year. So I'm really going for the Cinema Society mostly because – in terms of programming, Jeff and I, and along with some of the other filmmakers on our board, Graham Gordy and Jamie Lemons, we program the festival. So that's what we're looking for, is opportunities for screenings here.
Your coworkers here, you know, Jeff Nichols, who's the director, mm-hmm. and then cinematographers, people like that. I'm wondering sort of what is that process like when you're running a Cinema Society, running a film festival, but you're doing it from the lens of people who are actually making them rather than someone who's just a critic, maybe, I guess. How is that differing?
I think it's interesting because we've built the organization from a filmmaker's perspective. So what I think is cool about Filmland, as an example, is, you know, we want to make sure the screenings are really, really great for the filmmakers and for the audience as well. But we've had so many compliments about the intimacy of the festival and how well the filmmakers are treated. And so we really try to have the filmmakers have a great experience here. So perhaps they'll want to come back and maybe even make a movie here. And Jeff and I, you know, have traveled through film festivals and know what it's like. And I've been at film festivals where my film was projected poorly and it's heartbreaking. So we never want to do that to a filmmaker, and we want to make sure they have a good quality screening experience. And then the audience benefits as well, of course.
And then when you are choosing those five or so films that do make it to Filmland, you're sort of keeping that at the forefront of your mind that, you know, obviously you're looking for good content, a good film, but are you looking for it to maybe sort of jive with the feel of the festival or the feel of Arkansas maybe, or maybe like a director who would, you know, as you said, maybe want to make a film in Arkansas?
There's definitely a balance every year. And, you know, we want to have something that's family friendly. We want to be inclusive. So we want to have diversity in our program, both, you know, race and sex and age. And so we're really so once we landed Andrew Stanton, you know, we knew we had our family friendly film, you know, nailed down. So we decided to then we realized we only had men coming. So then I reached out to the Troop Zero directors and we were able to get the female writer and two female directors here. And so and we ended up aligning that with our Filmmaking Lab for Teen Girl short film premieres. So that night was really special. And every year it's just a little bit different. And we pair things as people are available. It's a lot more difficult to get to screen these films because we have to have a filmmaker accompanying. So we could reach out to The Report, but we're not going to screen it if we can't get Adam Driver to come or, you know, one of the filmmakers.
You mentioned the Teen Girl Filmmaking Lab. That's an awesome program that we've heard about. How did that go? How are plans for doing it again?
So the Filmmaking Lab for Teen Girls was my personal favorite thing we've done. We walked 11 girls. The program is free to them. It's 8 weeks and it's intensive. And we walk them from finding their story idea to a lookbook to pitch, screenwriting, pre-production, production, editing, composing, finishing, credits, premiere. And several of the girls, Jeff and I ended up writing college recommendations for, and one of them has gotten into a film school. And to me, it gives me chill bumps because we've changed trajectories of some of these girls' lives because they didn't know previously that it was possible to get into film, which is really why Jeff and I started the Cinema Society to begin with, because we didn't have those opportunities growing up. And hopefully we're cutting a decade of searching off some of these girls' trajectories. So
I probably should have asked you this first, but how did you get into the industry? How did you get interested in filmmaking?
That's a long, I don't know if you have enough time. I was a photographer in high school and college, and that was my major. And then I walked around New York City with my resume in hand, to the photographers in New York City that I loved their work. And one of the photographers happened to be in the lobby at the time, and it was a celebrity photographer named Timothy White, and he shot movie posters. And I ended up working for him for 2 years. And in that time, realizing I got to be on film sets, and he was best friends with Harrison Ford. And so I really got involved in film there and saw that there's not just actors. There's 150 people behind every film. And I ended up going from working with him to Miramax Films, where I worked in marketing for a couple of years. And I quit there to work in production. And really, the rest is history. And I worked in production for the last 15 years. So, yeah.
Very nice, concise history there. Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you mentioned with the Teen Girls Film Lab, the Cinema Society is also doing a new mentoring program. Mm-hmm. My question is, what is important about it? Sort of, what are you? You mentioned shaving off 10 years of trying to find yourself in the industry, but what else are you hoping people learn from this program that you can't necessarily get from like self-directed study?
So I meant to mention also, but I went off on a tangent, that Filmmaking Lab for Teen Girls, we are doing it again. Based on feedback we received from the girls, we're going to have it be a summer camp instead of over 8 weeks after school and on the weekends. So it'll be an intensive program this summer. Our sponsors are in place, the Women's Foundation of Arkansas. And we haven't announced dates for that yet, but it will be back and it will be even better. The mentorship program is designed, I get, you know, I don't know, 10 or 20 emails a week about people whose children want to get into film and they don't know where to begin. I love meeting with all of those students, but I also can't help everyone because my experience is directing, producing, and being an AD. So I'm not a cinematographer. I'm not a costume designer. I'm not an editor. So if one of those children reaches out to us and wants to be an editor, this is a way to pair them with someone that's actually doing what they want to do. So it's a way for guidance, that also we're charging for it so that we can pay filmmakers for their time. In LA, filmmakers make a lot of money. In Arkansas, they don't necessarily make a lot of money. So we're trying to have it be mutually beneficial for both parties. But we pair them. So if we have an aspiring editor, email us and we'll pair them with our editing mentor, and they meet a couple of times and have follow-up emails, but they give them guidance on how to navigate getting into editing in the industry. We have a lot of male students reaching out to us saying, when is there going to be a lab that's not just for girls? And I say, when we get a sponsor. But I have a son. He might want to be a filmmaker. We want to be inclusive. And so we want to have an opportunity for all types of folks to get into filmmaking. And if you're 50 and you want to be a screenwriter, then we'll pair you with a screenwriter. There's no age limits. There's no demographics we're looking for. So it's everybody.
What is Arkansas like for you right now in the film industry? What are you hoping for? What are you looking for? What do you see right now as the film industry in Arkansas?
I would love for there to be more projects filmed here. And there's a lot of different opinions about this, but the number one thing we need is a competitive tax incentive. And what we have right now is competitive, but it's not, there's no money allocated in the budget for it. And so in the state budget. So our Governor Hutchinson is very film friendly, and he allocated funds for True Detective, which was an incredible opportunity for Arkansas. But we need more of those because we trained a bunch of Arkansans in film, and then there's no jobs after True Detective's over. So we need sustainability for filmmakers living here. And that to me is the next kind of hurdle, is figuring out how we can be competitive with states like Georgia and Louisiana and New Mexico. And I'm not suggesting that we have the potential to be a Georgia, but I think that there's an opportunity for Arkansas to take some of the middle level films, the mid-range budgets that are, you know, 10 to 15 million, maybe not 200 million, but the 10 to 15 million dollar films that maybe might be third tier in Georgia, but we would take them and welcome them and they would get our top crew. So I think that's an opportunity. And I think if you look at the cities in America that are embracing film, like Nashville and Austin, they are the fastest growing cities in America. And they have embraced the arts And people, that's what attracts people. Art is lifts the culture. And when you invest in it, your cities and states grow.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Catherine Tucker, Executive Director and Founder of the Arkansas Cinema Society. You're listening to The Art Scene from UA Little Rock Public Radio. Well, it's interesting, because, I mean, obviously the Cinema Society partners with other artistic organizations, but also you guys have partnered with, I think, Mayor Frank Scott did like a panel discussion or something.
Yeah.
This upcoming one tomorrow is going to be moderated by Joyce Elliott, state senator. What are your, I guess, goals for that? Why do you want to involve, I guess, local government in the Cinema Society?
I want to involve the leaders in our community. And, you know, we try to be as inclusive as possible. We had Allison Williams, chief of staff for Governor Hutchinson, moderate a Q&A a couple of years ago for On the Basis of Sex. So I try to find experts on what the film is about to have these conversations with filmmakers. The conversation tomorrow, I hope, will be very productive, and obviously the subject matter is relevant for what's going on here in Central Arkansas. But Senator Elliott is actually the one that brought the film to my attention. And then when we reached out to the filmmaker, we discovered that he was from Arkansas. He's from Fayetteville, and he's been on a festival tour, touring festivals, and just having single screenings like this with this film as an effort to start productive conversations about the issues in the film. And so he's very well versed in doing that, and encouraged me to get local leaders involved in the conversation. So that's sort of how that came to be.
And if you could just give the listeners a bit of a sense of what tomorrow's screening is, what the movie is.
Sure. So the screening tomorrow is called Love Them First. And it's about a principal and the teachers at a school that is on the quote list, which is the failing list in Minneapolis, and their fight to get it off the list. And I've spoken with the filmmaker about it, and he stresses that it's a celebration of teachers, and all the work that they do, fighting and being champions for education. And so Joyce Elliott will be moderating that. She's another champion for education, has worked tirelessly in our community for years to help better education for our young people. And we're just super excited about the screening that we were able to make it happen. The screening tomorrow of Love Them First with director Ben Garvin, with Joyce Elliott with Senator Joyce Elliott moderating, is at 5:30 at Cal's Ron Robinson Theater. You can just show up, or you can reserve your tickets ahead of time. They are free and it's open to the public. You can reserve the tickets at ArkansasCinemaSociety.org. And we also are super grateful to our partners, the Clinton School, who have helped drum up some of the support we've gotten for it. So,
and as you mentioned, you know, there are sort of parallels between the Little Rock school system, I guess, and what's happening in this in this documentary. Do you ever kind of see stories here in Little Rock and just think, wow, that would make a great movie? Is it
constantly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it kind of a bit frustrating because you can't do that yourself anymore, or is it?
The real issue is that I think that we could. There's just not sustainable funding for filmmakers here in Arkansas. I've produced two feature films, and it's really, really hard to find investors for film in Arkansas. And I think that's part of what the Cinema Society is trying to do is, you know, educate that film is an incredible industry. It employs all of the arts. It's economic development. It's tourism. It's really all things, and it supports local artists, but it also, you know, exposes unheard stories. And you can also make your money back. So, you know, you can make some, there's a lot of really wealthy people that work in films in now Georgia and Louisiana and Los Angeles and New York, and we're trying to make that happen here.
Yeah, I mean, not to dwell on it too much, but when you see, I guess if you could call it a success story, like Georgia or Louisiana, it's like what are the things that investors are afraid of in Arkansas? Are they just worried about their bottom line? I guess.
I think they just don't understand it. I think they don't understand the possibilities. And if we had some sort of rolling production company that was funded, we could have an idea. And I have 10 people that I could call that I know would make great films right here in Arkansas. We just don't have funding. So people end up having to do other things because you have to make a living.
So could that be a possibility to see in the future, a production company in Arkansas?
I would love that. It would be a dream come true for me if it was financed.
Yeah.
Definitely. You learn very quickly at all. If you just follow the money.
Yeah. We talked about the mentorship programs. We talked about next year, or I guess technically this year's Filmland. Anything else that you are looking forward to, maybe personally from yourself or for the organization as a whole?
Something that we've gotten a lot of requests for are more educational opportunities for more folks. So we're planning more workshops and seminars this year. We might do fewer screenings. So far, it's not turning out that way. But we're going to have hopefully some more nuanced, specific workshops like cinematography and directing that are not just a conversation with a filmmaker, but actually some tools to use to be able to do it.
I guess on the same line of the Teen Girls Filmmaking Lab, and like you said, the mentorship program isn't age-based or anything. Are you guys doing anything to attract young people specifically?
A couple of years ago, one of our board members, Graham Gordy, he's the chair of our education committee, and he's a local filmmaker and screenwriter, but he was aware of this program called Young Storytellers that exists in four other cities, Austin, New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, that teaches screenwriting to fifth graders in public schools. It started in the late 90s when Los Angeles lost their arts funding, and a group of screenwriters got together and said, let's start doing some programming that replaces some of that loss. That was 2 decades ago, and they now have 6,000 volunteers teaching screenwriting in public schools in Los Angeles. We franchised the program 2 years ago and are the fifth city in America to have it. We teach screenwriting one mentor to one mentee at Jefferson Elementary in the fifth grade, and we mentor for 9 weeks, and the 10th week, even if the kids didn't have a good time, the 10th week is a pizza party.
Nice.
It's one-on-one mentoring, and we write a 5-page screenplay. And then at the end, we have local actors come and volunteer their time and perform the plays for their school.
Oh, wow.
In the lunchroom. It is the most fun, and it's one of my favorite programs that we do, thanks to Graham Gordy. And we actually are planning on branching out to our second school this year. Matt Rowe, who is one of the Young Storytellers mentors, is going to LA for the training and is going to start the program at Gibbs. So that will start in the fall.
What's the feedback been like from
teachers
and students?
Everybody loves it. And now what's really cool about it is the first time we did it, the kids were kind of guinea pigs. And now everyone in the school knows about it. So the kids come and they're much more, I don't know if excited is the word, because they were excited the first time. I don't want to say they weren't, but they're just like, they know what it is, and you can tell that they're super pumped to be there.
Yeah. I can imagine some of the raw creativity that those kids are putting out there. It's probably some very interesting screenplays.
Yes. And some of them we might rip off.
Oh, please do. I would love to see them.
A lot of them are really, really hilarious.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
And it gets a lot of kids to kind of open up and express themselves in ways that they might not have before. So
it's very cool. Yeah. I'm just thinking back to like the stupid stories that I wrote in elementary school, and I would be mortified to see them on the silver screen. So that's good.
And the actors are also, they're probably the best part. They do such a good job, and you know, they have to, you know, mime everything. They don't have any props, and so I just act out everything. But it's a really good time.
Are there any other ways that you guys are providing outreach to maybe someone who isn't interested in making films necessarily, but follows the Cinema Society, wants to know sort of what films are on Vogue, I guess, nowadays?
Yeah, so we are making an effort to be that for our community. We've started a blog. The writer is Cody Ford. He is out of Northwest Arkansas, which is great because he really has his ear to the ground in terms of what's going on up there. And we want to expose everything that's going on in film up there, because there's a lot. And so we've started that. And then we also have a more vigorous, robust social media platform. We try to post daily about films that have been shot in Arkansas in the past, or highlighting filmmakers that you might not have done something for a couple of years, just to remind everyone of, you know, how rich our community is in filmmakers already. So the other thing we have that I want to publicize more is we have a travel grant. It's really a travel stipend that we mirrored from the Austin Film Society. It's something that Jeff Nichols took advantage of when he was a young, broke filmmaker. But we offer travel grants, travel stipends to filmmakers that have gotten Arkansas filmmakers from Arkansas or living in Arkansas that have gotten into any sort of major festival. And it's a small stipend that we give to help them with travel costs associated to attending the festival. So I always want filmmakers to know about that. And we try to remind the public of that as much as we can. So
I'm just curious, what is the process of like submitting to a festival? That seems like a super daunting thing. There's probably a million festivals out there. How are you? If I were a young filmmaker, from Arkansas, you saw my, I guess, let's just say a feature film. Like, what would you suggest for me to do?
So they've actually made it a lot easier. Technology has made it a lot easier. So there's now two systems: Film Freeway, which I actually think has gone out of business. Oh no, Without a Box was the original software website, and you could go and upload your film one time and enter all your information and then click on the festivals that you want to submit to. So that made it a lot easier. And then I think now Film Freeway is the front runner in terms of, you know, the most commonly used site for that now. And that's what we use, is Film Freeway. But you just go to their website, you can upload your film there and put in all of your information and apply to, you know, submit to, you know, 50 film festivals in the time it would normally take you to do, you know, two. So it's a lot more streamlined now, because of technology. So
yeah,
you're not mailing DVDs and.
Sure. Right. You don't really have to choose which ones to submit them to. You can just do them all.
I met with a student yesterday who's in college at Colorado College, and she's an aspiring filmmaker, but she said that there's actually a high school film festival that only accepts films from high schoolers. So, and that's in, I think she said maybe Idaho. But they have, you know, connections with other larger film festivals, and then they screen the winners. And so there's so much opportunity out there now for young people, and we're all carrying around a camera in our pocket. So, you can, not that I encourage that, but
sure.
You can totally make a film on your iPhone.
People like brag about that now. It's like shot on iPhone. It's
yeah. So cool. Shot on an iPhone.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And the need for content is, you know, there's so many streaming platforms. When I was telling someone about this yesterday, but 15 years ago, there was just so much less content being made. So getting a job in the film industry was a lot harder. And now it's absolutely the most accessible art form.
That was Catherine Tucker speaking about the Arkansas Cinema Society's upcoming plans for the next decade in film. Tucker serves as the Society's executive director and also founded it, along with Little Rock-born director Jeff Nichols. That's our show for this week. Join us at the same time next week. The Art Scene is a presentation of UA Little Rock Public Radio.